This is CBiz Media and ADI Entertainment's The Mix.
All right, welcome. This is The Mix. I'm Irene. This is CBiz Media. Thank you again for joining us. We have a great guest on the line, Miss Erica. Okay, Erica, can you just briefly introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are?
I am a child of God. My name is Erica. I am 27. I am the founder and CEO of Lend a Hand, Heal a Heart, which is an organization that helps individuals with mental and physical disabilities. Other than that, I'm a mother and a church goer, and that's about it.
Okay, so what inspired you to get started with that, with your group, Lend a Hand, Heal a Heart?
I don't know. I guess I've always had a passion for it. I was in school, I believe. I was in like the third or fourth grade. And it was a choir that had came, and they had mental handicaps, and they were singing. And the whole time, I was just crying. And I felt so bad for them. And they had to come console me, like, it's okay, we're okay. But I think it's just because you hear a lot about people with mental and physical handicaps, and they get abused, or they get beaten, or they get made fun of. And I just wanted to try to fund something and do something that'll help, you know, involve them and get them active and be around people that actually love and support them and can give them the help that they need.
That's really sweet, because, yeah, like you said, a lot of times they go through a lot, getting made fun of and being mistreated. And I have a relative that wasn't always going through disability, but currently she's going through disability. And you'd just be surprised how mean people can be. It seems like people would be, you know, even kinder to somebody that's going through something like that. But it's sad how people can just really mistreat them. So it's good that you have that project, and I hope the best for it. And definitely need to talk about, you know, disabilities, all types, mental illness, physical disabilities, and just put it out there and just show love to people, because that's what we need to do.
Right. I think it's really not talked about, because a lot of people are fearful of being made fun of and it not getting welcomed or going across easily. So a lot of people and a lot of parents get, you know, scared, or they feel insecure or ashamed that their child or them or somebody has a disability. They try to hide them or hide it or something like that, and they don't get the help that they really need because they're ashamed of it. So that's another key thing, is to actually bring it out and make people feel more comfortable actually talking about it and disclosing it, so other people can get help and get encouragement and support.
Yeah, that's true, because you just made me think about mental health issues and mental illnesses as well. Again, yeah, like, people are just ashamed, and we need to just be out there and say, hey, I do have this issue. I'm out here with this, I'm out here with that, and not be ashamed of what's going on with you, so people can see, you know, that they're not alone, and that it's a lot of people out there going through. And yeah, people do need a lot of help, and there's a lot of need for different programs that they don't really have as much as you would think for people that have disabilities and whatnot. So definitely it's great that you're out here doing this. Did you want to mention your grandfather at all?
Sure. I think I'm emotionally stable now. My grandfather, he was diagnosed with dementia at first a few years back, and then this year it started getting worse. It went to Alzheimer's, and that's kind of the reason why he died. But it's just a hard. You see how people raise money for stuff, and you see all these organizations and foundations and stuff, and it's, you know, sad, but you really don't think about it or really think about what it takes until you actually go through it. And I feel like taking care of my granddad really helped to open my eyes to different stuff, because I came home and he would be walking out the house at like 4 o'clock in the morning, And I'm like, Dad, where are you going? Oh, well, your mother said I gotta take her to the doctor. And little stuff like that. Like, every night it was always something going out the house. Or he was real angry, real fast. And, like, he would be leaving. I would be at work. And they would call me because I had the car. And they'll be like, your grandfather left. I'm like, well, where did he go? I don't know. He just took off walking for 7 miles. And I found him. He was at the bus stop, trying to take the bus to go to the mall. Wow. And I would have to leave work and try to help him, or, you know, try to make sure that he's okay. And that was really challenging to actually have to deal with that and go through that, because he knew something was wrong with him, but at the same time, like any of us, is terrified that something you're used to doing and used to driving and used to being in your right mind, and now you have no control over that. And I think that helped me in a lot of areas to just, you know, be sensitive to that and sensitive to people that are going through that, because it's very hard. It's hard to not get offended, because he would go off. He would cut into you real bad.
Wow.
He would make a scene in places and start yelling. And you can't let that affect you. Like, you would have to be tough to know that it's not them. It's just the disease talking at you.
Exactly.
And it was tiring or whatever, but I'm glad that I was able to be with him through that while I could.
Yeah, you're really strong to be able to deal with that, and also being as young as you are as well, because I can somewhat relate. My grandmother went through some dementia, and she did some kind of crazy things, and she would just rip you one and stuff, like, out of nowhere. And it's like, what happened to my sweet granny? What happened to you? And it was kind of crazy, and it's really scary. And I think it does happen to a lot of people as they get older. I'll say a nice percentage of people will go through that or something similar. And I think we need to be prepared, you know, the kids need to be prepared, and the grandkids, especially. Just imagine, like, the little grandkids, they probably really don't understand what's going on at all when their grandparent is doing things like that. But I think this is definitely conversations that we could need to continue to have, because, you know, when I went through it with my grandma, I was like, what? Like, it was just unbelievable. Like, I just couldn't believe that could happen. And, like, so many other people had went through that before. And it's just something a conversation that we need to continue to have. Because people need to try to prepare for different instances in life. And sadly, that could be one, especially when you're dealing with an elderly person, that can possibly happen.
They do, actually. Because I always participate in the walks that they have for the Alzheimer's in April. And we learned a lot about it, because they actually said that that Alzheimer's was the number one killing. It killed more people than breast cancer. And I know a lot of people that died from breast cancer. And to say that it killed more than breast cancer is a lot. And before you had called, I looked, and it said that 5.5 million people actually have Alzheimer's starting at a young age, and it just keeps progressing as you get older. So to think, like, how many people is in the world, and 5.5 million people are struggling and dying with this, is just really, it's really
tough. I'm glad you said that. Like, I need to find out, how do you screen yourself to see if you possibly could have it at a younger age, so you could prepare if you might have it and it might progress.
That's why I'm kind of nervous, because I know it actually runs in my family. It's my granddad had it, my aunt had it, my uncle had it, like, all his brothers and sisters that have gone on has had it. So it's a little scary. Just to know that it could possibly happen. But, you know, I still believe in prayer, and I believe in God, so I know that He will cover me and cover everybody else until it's their time.
Amen. And maybe since you learned some things from them, that maybe there's something that you could do to help with something. I don't know if it's anything preventative or just to prepare for the possibility. You will be
Take
better
the medicine.
prepared. But we're
Take
gonna.
the medicine is key. Because my granddad did not. He was a man of faith and he believed that the Lord would not let him down and he didn't need to take medicine and he was good. And it's actually the medicine that the doctor prescribed to try to. It doesn't prevent it because you can't prevent Alzheimer's, but it can slow it down to where it won't progress as fast. And he did not believe in taking that at all. So it just, I feel like if he had have taken it, it probably would have helped a little bit, but he didn't want to take it, so that's just what happened.
Well, yeah, that's making me think of a whole nother topic as far as me going through breast cancer and going through all the chemo, radiation, and having to get surgery. All these things that I said I would never do, like I would try to find another way. I never thought it was gonna happen to me, so it's easy for you to say that until you're in that position. But it took a lot of the medical intervention, but I'm still here and I survived, and I thank God for that. And I believe God put the doctors and the medicine here for a reason. So,
Yeah, definitely. They do help.
but God is our number one physician, of course. But definitely, I believe He put these people here to help us so we can stay here a little bit longer if possible. So I know you're dealing with some of your own health issues, and did you want to share anything about that?
Jesus, yes. It's mainly from the accident. Well, first it dawned on me. I did actually have a little bit of a condition, which is kind of how it helps my organization because I can relate to some of the fear and the just the fear that they can have because and I believe it was 2009, I had the condition called Bell's palsy. And it's basically a condition where your nerve gets strangled in the canal in your face. And it just happens really quickly because one day my eye was twitching and I didn't know why and I didn't think nothing of it. And then the next day it was watering and it was twitching and watering at the same time. And I'm just looking like, okay, what is this? And then the next day I couldn't blink. My mouth was crooked. Food was falling out when I tried to eat. I had black spots on my lip. And I promise it was crazy because, and me and my friend always laugh because before then I swore up and down that the Lord was a healer and that he could heal you from cancer and he could heal you from anything and he can do the impossible. And it's really crazy how the Lord will challenge us sometimes in the areas that we think we're strong just to really show us. And shortly after that, that's when the whole thing happened. And I went to the doctor and he put me on a lot of steroids and different medication. And he was saying that I could go blind because my eye wasn't closing at night. It was still open, so I had to sleep with a patch on my eye. And when I went out to eat, it was really embarrassing to me because my face was crooked. So like the food would be falling out and I gotta try to cover my mouth and stick it back in. And it was just, I was drooling. It was a really tough time. And I remembered a lot of nights I would cry and get really sensitive about it because I'm like, I don't want to go out in public looking like this. Like this is horrible. And I would be crying and questioning God, like, why would you do this? Are you gonna? And everybody would say, you know, God's a healer. Believe he can heal. And I'm looking like, no, he can't. Like, not right now, he ain't. And I was really at a point where I questioned the very thing that I believed in. But eventually, with prayer and everything else, it worked out. I was able to blink again. I was able. My mouth went the right way. I was able to eat just fine. The only thing right now is that my left eye still is a little squinted. But the fact to see that the doctors were so shocked because they're like, a lot of people don't gain the strength back in their faith, and a lot of people are permanently paralyzed due to this condition. And to be able to regain all of my strength and all of my function back was just really, I bless God so much, but it also made me think about the people that are struggling with autism or with Down syndrome or something like that. Like, you go into the world and you see you're not like everybody else, and you have conditions and problems that everybody else don't have, and you can sometimes feel kind of inferior and scared about it. But I thank God for that experience. And even now, a lot of things that I deal with is from a car accident. I was in a car accident the day before the launching of my business. And I have memory problems right now. I'm on my third surgery that I have to get for my back. And it's challenging because a lot of things that I used to do, I can't do anymore, at least right now. But I thank God for just the stuff that's wrong with me. If you actually look at me, it don't look like
you can't
do. Even though I feel pain inwardly, and I'll be walking like, ouch, ouch, ouch. But on the outside, when I tell people I have surgery, they'll be like, well, what? Like, why? And right. I'm like, well, I have a torn ligament in my back. I have herniated disc. I have pinched nerve. But I'm still able to drive. I'm still able to walk. I'm still able to cook and do, you know, a lot of stuff. So I'm really trusting in God through this process. And I'm really grateful, though, that even through all of this, he's still keeping me. He's still providing. He's still, you know, evident in my life. So
praise God.
But I'm just really thankful for all of it.
Thank you for sharing your testimony. And I can relate, especially when I had cancer, questioning God, because I too was like, well, God can heal all of that stuff, so why do I have to go through this surgery? Why do I have to get all these chemicals in my body and all of that? So I totally relate, and I like the way you were talking about how sometimes God will challenge you in different ways in life and things you didn't really realize, you know, how it would affect you, and it kind of opened your eyes to different things in life. And for me, I just cherish life even more, and I feel like it's no time to waste, and just follow your heart, your dreams, and just live life to the fullest and follow God. So that's what it did for me, and I still have some health challenges after the fact, after my cancer is done, but I mean, I keep going on, and I just thank God that I can continue to go on. And a lot of people say, I don't look like what I've been through either, so.
Right.
But,
You look great.
You look great, girl. But, sometimes people, I don't know, sometimes people put this stigma on you as well, as if you must not be doing things right in your life or something. Like, they have this reason why you're sick, why you keep having these challenges, and they kind of try to put the blame on you, but you don't really know why God has a plan that he has for you. And a lot of times, you know, we need to look at it as, you know, we're continuing to push through, and God is continuing to keep us through all of that, and it's truly a testimony. But sometimes people try to turn it around on you, like, make it seem like it's your fault or whatnot, and that's not cool.
Exactly. That's not. You get a lot, I've heard that, though, because that has happened to me. But I try to switch it around, and I turn it to where, even if, you know, your sins or if something, because you know how sometimes you can have a repercussion of the things that you have done. But even in that, God still has a way of using what you have done and a disciplinary action as a testimony still. Like, he can still, because everybody know I have two kids, and they were both born without being married. And the time that I had my last son, I was having a good job. I had a good job. I had just moved out into my own apartment. I had my own place, my own car. I had money. I was doing good. And that incident happened. I ended up being pregnant. I lost everything. My car got repossessed. I had to move back in with my grandparents. I went broke trying to take care of baby. So for a long time, like, people beat me up about that, even in my own family. And even myself, like, I would be so hard on myself, like, God is doing this on purpose, this is what you get for doing this, that, and the third. But at the same time, in that, he still blessed me because I never went without eating. I've always had a roof over my head. I always had transportation. My kids always had milk and formula, diapers, whatever they needed. God always still had my back. And even as far as moving back in, I got to spend the extra time with my granddad, because after I moved in, that's when it started going down. So I was able to be there for him and to help him through. So I still feel like, even though, you know, sometimes people might say, oh, you're going through this because of this, you're going through this because of that, God still can put that as a testimony to still be used for other people and to still get the glory out of every situation.
That's right.
And I feel like if you do call yourself saved, because a lot of saints do say those things, then you must not be in real relationship with God, because God does not hold anything over your head.
Exactly.
And even just like a parent, if he beat you, he's still going to love on you afterwards. So it's never it's too late with God. It's always, no matter what, I still love you. So that's just my take on that.
Amen. You preaching, sis. That's why I love my God, because he always have a heart for us. That's unconditional love, even sometimes even beyond your parents, that kind of love that nobody in the world can give you. So it's just, I'm glad we got God. That's all I have to say. I loved talking with you today. And is there any information you want to share as far as your organization, or how people could get in touch with you or follow you?
My Facebook name is Erica Kane. It's ErikaAKanee. I had to switch it up because there was a lot of people that had that name. My Facebook for my organization is Linda Hand Healer Heart. And right now, I know I spoke to you earlier about it, but the Lord placed on my heart to do a brunch for the women that have either battled with cancer and won, or those that lost to cancer, or those that are still fighting with it. So we're putting that on right now. I'm trying to work out the details, but hopefully I can have it by the end of this month. It'll be all ready and set to go.
Okay, wow. Is it, so basically they can contact you through Facebook if anybody's interested in participating or anything?
Yep, you can do it on Facebook or the Linda Hand page. I see that easier than my other ones, because they block the request for me if I don't know you, which is Linda Hand Heal a Heart. So if you find it, just send a message through there and I will be sure to get it.
Okay, do you have an email?
Yes, and it's super long. Okay. It is Erica, ErikaA, Michelle, MichelleX, at gmail.com. Really, really long.
That wasn't too long. It's an X at the end, at X at Gmail?
Yes, the X at the end. And we're going to host a brunch, and it's a $7 cover fee, but all of the proceeds will go to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Or if there is somebody that anybody knows that is dealing with cancer right now and that needs the help, then all of the proceeds will go to that family. I would rather donate it to an actual family in person, but if not, it'll be donated to the Breast Cancer Foundation.
Thank you so much, Erica. We'll be talking with you again.
Thank you for having me.
This program has been dedicated to the late Cordoza Johnson Jr., Annie Ellington, Carrie, and all those that have lost their lives to Alzheimer's, breast cancer, and other cancers. We want to thank you for joining us here on The Mix. This is CBiz Media and ADI Entertainment, and I'm Irene. We want to thank you for listening again.
And if you'd like to send us any donations or correspondence, or you'd like to be on the show, you can go to our PayPal. You can send us donations via PayPal at commmbiz2004@yahoo.com. If you have any questions, comments, you need more information, give us a call or send us a text at 313-681-1521. That's 313-681-1521. Or you can check out some of what we do on cbiztvonline.com. Also, join us on Facebook at cbiztv and media online.